Listen to the words of Jesus found in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Some of you may know that I escaped to Tahoe earlier this week. A friend of mine called and said, "I have a place, it's in your budget. Bring your kayak and we'll just relax." And I said, "Okay, I am going." I mean, it was perfect for me. I was doing a sermon on rest, so I thought, ooh, there'll be a sermon illustration. And I put my 14-foot kayak on the back, on the top of my Honda Fit, and I made it all the way to Tahoe to be greeted by rain and clouds and thunderstorms. But there was a Starbucks nearby, so I took my sermon there, and I overheard conversations, and I heard some that sounded like the classical description of a vacation. You know the one, 2 weeks that are too short, after which you are too tired to go back to work, but too broke to afford not to. Ooh, that's a vacation. And I expect that can be kind of said in one form or another for much of our time away, be it just a few free hours or an evening or an actual get-out-of-town vacation. So I sat in that Starbucks and I drank coffee and I looked at the tall pines surrounded by the clouds, and I realized that the word rest here doesn't mean a mere vacation. Jesus is not talking about physical rest like one we take during the summer or an afternoon off. He is talking more of an important rest, a deeper rest, a rest for the souls. He knows that we are a restless people, and our lives are often filled with hurts and regrets. We are weighed down by guilts and distractions. We're filled with and burdened with unfulfilled expectations of ourselves, of others, and of God. I mean, one person reminded me that sometimes we try to fill up that overweightedness with other things, music, food, TV, various activities like vacations, and none of them cures that restlessness of our soul. None of those things can truly make us whole. St. Augustine once prayed, "O Lord, you have formed us for yourself, and our souls are restless until they find our rest in you." Jesus is talking about a different kind of rest here. And I wonder if it's talking about the rest that truly my weary soul was longing for in those 3 days of Tahoe. And that time really wouldn't satisfy, and neither would a mere hour in worship. See, Jesus is talking, when we join this scripture, to the followers of John and others who have come to hear Jesus once again, and the truth be told, they are burdened by unfulfilled expectations. I mean, they really don't know if this Jesus is the one, and if he is the one, it wasn't what they expected him to look like. I mean, things haven't gotten easier since they met him. I mean, he's cured some people of physical illness, but not everyone. He's fed some, 5,000, with bread and with fish. But there are still people hungry, and the disciples are hungry often. He told the Pharisees off a couple of times, but they still seem to have all the power. Jesus says in a few verses in front of us that the disciples and the followers are acting like fussy children who need a nap because they're not pleased with what is offered to them. And by the time the Gospel of Matthew is written on paper, the temple has been destroyed. The zealots who plan to overthrow Rome are no more. The Pharisees are struggling just to keep the people of faith together. And the Romans are acting like they're God of everyone and to everyone. They're an occupied people. And life is especially hard for that group who are followers of Jesus, who seem to be in conflict with all the powers around them. To those people, they are weary of body and spirit and just their being. And to them, these words spoke deeply. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I'm caught by the translation by Eugene Peterson. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Well, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This is God's rest. It isn't a rest of no movement. It's not about being what we'd call in my day a couch potato. It's not about an endless long vacation or quick fixes. It's a kind of active rest here where we work and we walk with Jesus. It's a rest that longs that the world finally become ordered according to God's purposes and enjoy its full and complete Sabbath. The rest of life under God's reign in a new world that Christ is bringing into being. It's a sense of grace. It's a task that fit us. And did you notice that it's rest that is active? Right, rest, and then you're going to have to put on a yoke. Ooh, really? I liked it until I got there. And you may not know about a yoke. Some of you grew up on a farm, not so much me. I had to get on the internet and look at pictures of yokes. They're kind of like a harness. You put a yoke which has two pieces of wood, collars, around two different oxen. And people in that day knew about a yoke. I mean, a yoke actually makes the work easier for the oxen. If you use an oak, it's considered compassionate and kind to that beast of burden, so to say. If the yoke fits well on the shoulders of the animal, it enables the animals to carry the burden easily. It doesn't chafe, and it doesn't make the work harder. It helps in the task. It is a yoke for two animals. And it doesn't take away the weight of the burden, but it helps the two share it. And the interesting thing is farmers would take a well-disciplined older animal and put them with a new one. So the older, well-learned animal could teach the young one how to do the work without making it difficult. Now, I bet it wasn't easy for the old one, really, because the young one was wasting its time and doing everything. But what they did here is they shared the work. Jesus is saying, I'm going to share the yoke with you. Did you get that? Learn from me. Here am I, and here are you. We're yoked together. Learn from me, let me help, and your help is important too. It's about not being alone or thinking we are self-sufficient. It's the image of being side to side with Christ, of learning one who is a gentle and a humble teacher. I know myself that when I try to do things all by myself, I get weary. I mean, I begin to think I know how to do it, and I kind of have an idea how it's going to be. It happens to pastors. It also happens to committee members or anyone who sits around here too long. I mean, talk about, we're having Ken McFadden come. He is fabulous. Now, this is coming out because we have stewardship every year. Do you know what stewardship is? It's a fancy way as we need money to raise the church. And I've been doing this, Lord, I've been ordained 25 years, and I've used up every little pretty good idea I have, and it hasn't made any difference, really. And so my young friend named Don Hyde said, there's a guy named, Ken McFadden, and he's fabulous, and he said he will come out here just for an airline ticket. And I said, I went to seminary with him. And she said, well, he's really great. And I said, okay. So she talked to him, and he's coming basically for free to us because he knows we need help. So he's going to do a class, a kind of a thing for all Presbytery-wide people on Saturday, and then preach at our church, and then preach at my friend Don's church in Mission Bay. See, we're sharing it. And I thought, oh, isn't that good? I'm listening to the sermon. And then it got to be planning for Saturday, and I was doing everything myself. I'll order the dinners. I'll set out the tables. And I thought, oh, idiot. So I hired David Altshuler, who's doing work for us this summer, and said, would you come and just help me? And he said, yes. And I know the people there will kind of help too. See, when I think I'm in charge, you know what happens? I get weary, and I seem not to hear the word of God. See, I see God saying, Maggie, yoke up with me again. Let us do this together. It's an interesting thing that I have to remember. That because when we're yoked to Christ, it means we slow down enough. We pray, we discern, we're disciplined, we try to sense God's presence near us. And it's work. You know, to lay down a burden means you still have a burden, but it means you do not do it alone. We're yoked to Christ, and I think the image in some ways we're yoked to each other. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that this shared burden is also a word of grace. Jesus offers the heavy laden a lighter yoke. He is offering us a religion of grace to replace a religion of works under which we are laboring. If we receive God's gift of love as a grace, it's not in response to our unworthiness. It's more likely because of our unworthiness, but it's given to us. That's the grace. And all we can do is live our life in thanksgiving. It's so different. If we act like God's gift and love is a grace to us, then we stop keeping score. We keep trying to think we can work our way out of this because you know what, friends? We can't. Are you tired or worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and I'll help you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. It isn't a mere vacation. It's not doing anything. It's not a rest free from disappointment and exhaustion and loss and frustration. We're still moving out there, and yet Jesus walks with us. We lean on him, and we learn from him. We're in a partnership with Christ and with others around us. No one of us is doing this on our own. It's a sense that we don't stop moving in this rest, and we don't stop helping, and we don't stop growing. We do all of these yoked to Christ. A hospital chaplain once told a story, I may have told it before because I like good stories. This chaplain was working in a little tiny chapel in a big old city, could have been something like SF General. And the pastor says that every Sunday morning at 10, my congregation of 4 or 5 or 6 would arrive. A man in his pajamas pushing an IV pole, a patient from the psych ward with a chaperone, the parents of a child who the little child is laying close to death because of spinal meningitis. One by one, the grief-filled and the misery-filled poured into that chapel. and there wasn't much to see. It was an electric organ and the backs of another's head, and a simple pulpit with these few words painted on it: "Come unto me, all ye who are labored and heavy burdened, and I will refresh you." Such words of comfort and hope to those whose burdens seem too hard to bear. There is one who will take your burdens, who will share them and cannot be scared away. These words affirm that there is someone and something for us in the really difficult times, that we are never truly alone, that we are together, and when we share those burdens, it's not overwhelming. And they shared those burdens in that chapel, and that's what preached more than anything else. I have a friend who's a pastor in a large congregation of thousands. It's in an urban city much like San Francisco, or at least as complicated as us. She is the first woman minister there. She doesn't have a PhD. And they are grieving a beloved pastor that was there for 30 years. And when she preached to this burdened and tired congregation, she spoke these words: "All of you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, come to me. All you who are tired of figuring it out by yourself, come to me. All of you who are worn out by trying to keep life under control, come to me. All that you that think that the world is getting scarier day by day, come to me. All of you who are confused and grieved and exhausted, lost or lonely, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus stretched out his arms to them and called them and said, "Share your heavy burdens with me. Lay down those heavy burdens of unfulfilled expectations, the heavy burden of trying to be God, the heavy burden of what ifs and what onlys from the past. Put those people in the past and live in the presence. Jesus is still here with his arms outstretched, ready to take us. He invites us to lay down those crazy burdens we carry that cause our hearts to be heavy and our shoulders rolled over. Jesus stands hand outstretched, the weight of the world on his shoulders, and reminds us he is the only one that can be God. We cannot. And for your sake, he invites us to stop trying and to start simply leading by him. Follow him, lean on him, rest that yoke on your shoulders, knowing that Jesus takes the other. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." We are invited to trust these stunning and amazing words. "Come to me, all you who are overburdened and weary, and I will give you rest." God can carry that weight, and God asks us to be yoked to him in that discipline of life. It's a mystery, and it is full, and God has enough for us. So come. Come, those who are weary and overburdened, full of unmet expectations, come. For the yoke is easier when we're yoked to Christ. Come, let us share the burden and the direction and the life of Christ together. Amen.